Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, an infant formula company on a mission to get a lot closer to the most super superfood on the planet, breast milk. Our patented protein blend has more of the important and most abundant proteins actually found in breast milk. We're the first and only U.S.-made formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. We even conducted the largest clinical trial by a new infant formula company in a quarter century, with clinically proven benefits like easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula. And we make our own formula in the USA in our very own factories in Iowa, Oregon, and Pennsylvania. ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Love to Live Healthy show with author and weight loss specialist, Josephine Fitzpatrick. Our focus is weight loss and losing it with healthy and clean living. Join us every week to hear answers to questions from our clients all over the world who text and email thousands of weight loss questions daily. Listen and learn how Josephine answers questions to help you lose weight, eat healthy, and feel great.
Welcome to the Love to Live Healthy show. I'm Josephine Fitzpatrick, and this is my co-host, Jenna. Hi, Jenna.
Hello.
So today we're talking about relationships and how they can affect your life, and we know all about that, right?
Oh, yes. But
before we do, I want to remind you, please, if you like this video or if it helps you in any way, please give it a thumbs up and subscribe, because that helps our channel grow in the most significant way.
Yes,
so
it does.
So thank you. So relationships.
Oh, yes.
I know. So exciting. But we have to remember, you know, relationships are more than just about us and our significant other. It's about family, it's about friends, you know, parents, children, you name it, you know, it can affect you, and it could be positive or negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because positive, you know, actually, I should say negative, obviously you're arguing, or there's something going on, or stress, and that'll make you overeat, or, you know, binge. But the other flip side is even positive, when you're excited, and you're happy, and you go out to eat, and you, you know,
going out
celebrate.
To eat. Oh, yeah. I could talk about that all day. Me and my boyfriend, we go out to eat all the time, so I could totally relate to that. We just love it, like, every week, especially on the weekends.
Right.
And then alcohol comes into the mix, and then appetizers, you know, dessert.
Yes, exactly,
so,
yeah.
So it's definitely important for there to be balance, and that's something that you always talk about.
Yes, absolutely.
So how can you achieve that balance?
You know, that's what's so hard, is you have to want that balance first. You know, you have to make yourself happy before you can make someone else happy. I'm famous for saying that.
So important.
Yeah.
Yes.
The thing is, you know, you want to make your, say it's your significant other, you want to make them happy, but at the same time, you know, okay, let's go out to eat, but then you want to be able to order what you want to order, and that's what's going to make them happy.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, definitely a big thing.
And not feel bad about
it. Yeah, with when it comes to weight loss, or, you know, if you're with a table of people and friends, family, and, you know, you don't want to be that person who's not ordering right, you know, or not ordering unhealthy again.
And we've talked about this in another podcast.
This, because I'm like, I don't know why you don't want to be the unhealthy person, but I mean, I don't know why you don't want to be the healthy person. So, you know, really, that, those are the things you have to think about, okay? You know, what is going to make you happy is what eventually is going to make the person that you're with happy, or your family happy, or your friends happy, you know?
I love that.
So that's, I think, important, and that's where the balance comes in. But in order for you to have balance, whoever you're with and whoever you're, you know, sharing your time with, they have to also want the balance, so it both works.
Of course.
You know?
Balance is key.
Yeah,
like with everything.
Balance is key. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So today we have our special guest, right?
I was just going to say it. We have Meredith Prescott from Prescott Psychotherapy and Wellness.
Exciting.
And she's just the best. So, so excited to have
her. She's going
to
help us, you know, basically determine what our best avenue or path is to do when we are dealing with external relationships, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Hi, Meredith. Thank you for joining us. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I'm a therapist in New York City. I specialize in couples and young adults. I have a past history working with chronic illness. I used to work at Mount Sinai for many years. I love helping others, and I love to be a part of their journey and getting help.
I love that.
Awesome. That's great.
So let's talk about relationships. That's what we're talking about today, and you specialize in that. So what we're talking about today is relationships, and that's the big topic. So there is a link between relationships and your overall health and wellness, and I know you know that. So what is the link between a healthy relationship and your overall wellness and a not so healthy relationship and your wellness?
So healthy relationships can really strengthen your immune system and lengthen your life. And similarly, if you're in a toxic relationship or a not so healthy relationship, you're going to find that the opposite effects, right? That you might not live as longer and that you might have health complications as a result of that. Not having a strong immune system can result in a lot of health conditions. Similarly, you know, good relationships can be as powerful as like an antidepressant, right? Where you're feeling good and it's almost like medicine in some ways, right? When you're surrounded by like really positive people, and it doesn't have to be a romantic relationship. It can be great friends, great family members, but it really acts as like a buffer for and a protective factor for your health. And so similarly, when you don't have those healthy relationships or positive relationships in your life, you don't have that added layer of protection. And actually in some studies, they kind of talk about how loneliness is as lethal as smoking like 15 cigarettes a day it was. So similarly, if you're in relationships that are not filling you up and are not satisfying and are causing you tremendous stress, it can really alter your life negatively.
It's interesting.
So interesting.
It makes me think that's why people get dogs.
Little furry friend.
Right?
Because she said it doesn't have to be romantic.
No, it's just that relationship and that, you know, that feeling of comfort and loyalty and, you know.
Support, right? Yeah. And having that. And it's like that unconditional support where the pet is often there for you at all times, where sometimes people can't be, right? They have other agendas and other things going on, which is why so many people in the pandemic have gotten pets, cats, dogs, all types of pets.
Exactly,
to support them in this journey. Yeah,
that's and so important.
It was funny because while you were speaking, I was like, oh, you know, I think of people that I know that have animals and they treat them like humans, which I love.
I mean, talk like, to my dog
just
like
amazing.
A human.
You know, but they like sit. I've been at restaurants where they're sitting on a seat.
That's
you know?
My dog. Oh my gosh, no
and,
shame
and that's
to me.
Why, though. They do feel that. They truly feel
so
that
sweet.
Way. Yeah.
I love that.
So another question is, I know you use the approach that asks the big why, like what do you want from, you know, what do you want out of your life? What is so important to you? I know I relate to this with my clients. I'm always asking them, why do you want this? You know, why does it, what does it mean to you? So why do you ask that question? What is the purpose of it?
So the reason why I ask that question, and I wonder if this is similar to you and when you're asking those questions, is because I want to know why you're making the changes. If not, if I feel like, are they performative? Are these changes because you think you should be doing that? This is what your friend is doing. This is what your coworker is doing. Or are these changes things that like you realize you want within yourself because of other reasons, right? That these are values of yours, or that you realize that if you don't make these changes, you won't be where you want to be in the future, right? And so I think when I ask those questions, it's because it typically dictates kind of how the changes will be made and if they will be more short-lived or more like long-term changes. And so if they're more for shallow reasons or more performative reasons, they might not be sustainable long-term.
Right. Okay. That makes so much sense. And I do definitely think it relates. I also use it in a form of motivation, like what is going to motivate you to have this in your life, you know?
Right. And internal motivation.
Right.
Yeah. And I always look for the motivation. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think, you know, any type of motivation is wonderful, but obviously external motivation might not yield the same results as internal motivation.
Right. That's what I was thinking as you were saying that. I was like, you know, it can relate, but it also can be a dangerous thing if you're using it for the wrong reason in a relationship.
For sure.
But for sure, like just because you want to be in a relationship, you settle for that relationship because you want the boyfriend, because you want to live in together, you want that
companion. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not actually the right fit. But it's like nice to show up somewhere with somebody. It's nice to go to weddings with somebody. It's nice to travel with somebody. It fulfills certain needs. But it's also, it might not be very healthy long term. for right. you.
That's so true. And like, mm-hmm. I feel like that's so relatable for people. And I have another question. So do you think it's important for couples to find a partner that has like similar habits, hobbies, and traits to each other? So like, for example, if someone's obsessed with like working out and eating healthy, do you think that they should find someone that's just like that? Mm-hmm. Or can opposites attract in that kind of scenario?
That's a good question. I think typically, and I think it really, really depends. So this isn't like a rule, but I think it's nice to find somebody that has similar interests. And that yes. could be working out. That could be like you guys were both on the soccer team in college, or you're both on the lacrosse team, or you have very specific interests that align. I think that's helpful because I think people like to meet, like typically when you go on dates, right? Like you're talking about common interests, right? Before you get to like the heavier stuff or the things that like, you know, maybe are deeper, you're talking about like, what do you like to do on the weekends, or what does your ideal day look like, right? And so if they're so different and they're not aligned, it might be harder for you as you conquer some of the harder stuff or the challenges down the road to feel like you guys have enough in common to make it work.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I totally get that.
That makes sense. Yeah. So I have a great question. So now I've been with my husband since I'm 16. Okay. So we've been married Aww. Over 30 years.
so
and
sweet.
It's great. Yeah.
I love that.
It's wonderful now, of course.
They're just adorable.
You know, all the relationship stuff. But, you know, my kids are famous for saying, like, they'll sit with us, they'll be like, but I want what you guys have. And I'm like, but you Aww, didn't see, you know, so they're sweet. Older adults now. They're in their 20s, you know.
They
I'm like,
you
didn't
like
see us go
met.
Through all the beginning stuff, the sure. work that puts into it, you know, the arguments, the this, the that, you know, the good and bad times. But, you know, when you don't see that, you know, it's easy to just say like, oh, this is too much trouble, I'm going to give up. So, like, what would be your advice on how to not quit, like, a relationship? I feel like it's so easy mm-hmm. to, especially, you have to remember, we came from a time where there was no dating apps. You couldn't swipe to see who was better. You know, it was you
right.
Know,
there wasn't.
You know, now
options.
Today you just swipe
it. Yeah. Like I met my boyfriend on a dating app. You know, it's yeah. so crazy how it's different. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very different. And I know a lot of my clients talk about their children, and they're very worried. They're like, I don't, you know, they just can't meet someone because it's like they just sure. meet and then they stop and then they, you know, it's the next person. So, what's a good advice for
so
everyone?
I think if you're
really?
Thinking about a long. Yeah, but I think if you're thinking about a long-term relationship and how you were talking about the relationship with your husband, it's like, remind yourself why you fell in love, right? And so what were those reasons? Like, why were you drawn to this person when you met? Mm-hmm. Because I think that will help ground or center you into like, is this what I still want now? And have things changed for me? Have my values changed? Have my interests changed? Have we grown apart? Is there things that we can do to get back there? Or is this something that's not salvageable?
I love
right.
that.
Now, what about for a new relationship? I noticed the kids today, I don't want to say all of them, but some of them, because you didn't do it. But and I have, you know, children that are in relationships, they're fine. But my point is, like, yeah. what about the ones that have, they just don't want to put the work in? You know, they just think it's supposed to be immediate.
Right. I think that happens a lot. And I think I see a lot of couples, right? I see individuals who are dealing with relationship issues, as well as couples who are in a relationship already and are struggling. I think that relationships are hard work, and people are always changing and evolving. And hopefully, you know, for example, you know, a couple will continue to evolve and grow even if things change. And I think sometimes that's where couples get stuck. So it's important that, yeah, I think you have to put in the work if you want it to work. However, some people, I think, put in the work, oppositely to what you were talking about, put in the work hoping somebody will change, and then they don't, and they're very disappointed. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good to put in the work, but I think more often I'm seeing that people want the idea of having someone, and they fall in love with, like, potential. Oh, this could be great if he did X, Y, and Z, and I really could see a future with him. Rather than evaluating, well, is this going to work right now? With the hope that, sure, things can change. But if you're changing, people do change. But if you don't have the power to change someone in totality. So if a lot of the things that you are important to you aren't there from early on, it's going to be hard to think that that is a setup for success in your right. life.
Totally. Right?
I agree. You know, because as you're talking, I'm thinking, like, you know, there is love in this, though, too. Like, when you are really, truly in love with someone, you want to make changes that you are capable of making. And I think we all need to do that in order for you to grow together and, you know, it work out.
Yeah.
But I do think, like you said, the early signs, like sometimes you can go into a relationship going, well, I don't really like that, or that's not something I want, but I can change them. And not knowing, first of all, you're doing it before you're even in love with the person.
Exactly.
You know? So
right.
That's...
Totally. I think it also depends at what stage are you at in the relationship where you're wanting someone to put in more effort? Is that after you're married? Is that like when you're engaged? Is that when you're first meeting? I think it depends, like how much effort that is going into the relationship is going to differ based on how serious of a relationship it is.
Right.
Right. Right. And so I think if you're both married, ideally, and you're running into trouble in whatever way, or there's some challenges, like ideally it would be great if both people would put any effort to make the relationship better.
Of course.
But there might be reasons as to why somebody isn't, or both parties aren't, for that matter.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And then you have, of course, the long term. I've seen couples where they've been married, you know, 10, 12, 15 years, and all of a sudden they're like, you know, well, I don't like that about you. But yet they were like that the whole time, you know. And I'm using an example, like I know a couple, you know, and he was always... you know, just he went out a lot, and you know, he always did. Whole life. They had kids, mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden she was like, well, I don't want to deal with that anymore. And you know, and that just broke them up. But you know, I looked at it, I was like, well, that's how he always was. So she changed and just didn't want it anymore, which I guess is a different way of looking at it.
Well, maybe she also evolved and realized her needs had changed from when they first got married.
Exactly.
And he wasn't evolving, willing to make certain things change. Then that's why people do outgrow each other. So sometimes certain things like can't be fixed, if that makes sense, right? Like you can accept your partner, but there are certain fundamental things that may never change.
Exactly.
But some people realize that they don't want that anymore, or who they were. And I think obviously in your generation, people got married a lot younger. And so, you know, that's different. Whereas now I think people are getting married later and being like, is
yes,
this
that's
work
so true.
That
that's
is true.
So true.
And they
I'm like,
know
you're getting
a lot
married.
More
I had three kids at this time.
Right.
That's so true.
I mean, back then, it was more like it was traditional. It was survival for some people. It was different. I think now relationships are much more like a choice. Like, not to say that most people want them, but I don't think you need a relationship to be happy.
It's very
obviously
different. Right.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful to share your life with someone if it's the right person and it's the right match for you. But I think people are moving away from, I need a life partner, to like, is this life partner going to enhance my life? And if not, then I'm good. Okay. I'm good by myself. I'll figure out
wonderful.
A way to still have social connections.
Right.
That's
and that's really
thing.
Wonderful. And I'm assuming that's what you help people do, decide that, right?
Absolutely.
Because that's really
and
important.
I work with a lot of single clients, who I help, you know, improve their relationships in general, not specific to a boyfriend or a partner or a girlfriend or whoever, but more so being fulfilled with themselves first.
That's what you always say too.
Yes, right?
Yeah, like you.
Yeah,
she always says, be happy like with yourself.
You have to be happy with yourself before you can make anyone else happy.
Exactly. So that's what she always says, and I like live by that too. I just love that saying, so it's really true.
Yeah.
I love it. And I have like one more question. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just talk for society for a moment because I think this is really relatable. We always eat and drink our feelings. Like, I just feel like that's so common. If I'm, because I have a boyfriend and sometimes we do bicker. It can happen. It happens. And I'll just pull out the wine. Like, that's my instinct. I pull out the wine and that's what people do. They can eat and drink their feelings. Now, what do you think that represents? And what should the couple do instead of doing that?
Yeah, I actually don't think this is specific to couples, but I'll talk about it. I think it's more so that people have a really hard time dealing with uncomfortable feelings.
Mm. Yes.
So people don't like to sit with like discomfort. It's not just about couples. Like it's even if it was an individual having a hard conversation with a friend or a colleague or a boss, right? So I think people don't like to sit with their feelings and as a result, grab something that will give them a quick high. That might be like a brownie. That might be a glass of wine, like you said, right? So I think people want like an instant fix, and that's why they go towards those things where they know that will taste good and that they can predict, right? They've had them before. They know it's worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A type of comfort.
Exactly.
That's what,
right.
Yeah, you know, that's what I thought about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And getting kind of that high. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. And that's what I think it does really relate even when we talk about weight loss. And you said discomfort. It's one of the top things. A client does not want to be hungry. They don't want to be uncomfortable, you know. And it always comes down to that. Or if they're having a bad day, they grab the brownie or they grab the wine, you know.
Right.
And I think that what's like I always tell clients, and of course it's not the easiest thing to do when you're not feeling great. I'm always like, go exercise, go do something that's, you know, out of the kitchen or
make yourself
something
busy.
That's not going to, you know, make you know, potentially feel
distractions,
worse.
Distractions, I think is what you're saying. Yeah, and I think distractions can be very helpful, but I also think validating it's okay to be uncomfortable and sitting with it. And eventually over time, your body will learn. It's like build up that muscle.
Yes, absolutely.
So that you're able to tolerate more discomfort. Mm-hmm. Right? So that you're not grabbing for things, but it's okay to sit with it. And it's okay to be upset. It's okay to be frustrated with your partner. It's okay to, you know, be disappointed that a guy didn't call you back and you thought that you were going to get a second date with him. Like, right. Whatever it is, it's okay. It's uncomfortable. It's not the preferred outcome. And you will be able to handle this.
Right. You'll get
through it. And kind of coming up. And sometimes clients come to me and we work on like a game plan of like, tools that they can use that are healthy or like adding tools in their already in their toolkit that can help them cope when, you know, distressing situations arise that are not what they plan for, what they hope for in relationships, with work, with family, whatever it may be.
Right. Exactly. And I do agree 100% because I'm famous for saying, embrace it, embrace the moment, embrace the uncomfortable,
lean in.
You know, and get through it because that's what's going to help you get through it. And then, like you said, the tools maybe go for a walk, go, you know, sometimes just being in fresh air alone can change your whole mindset, you know. So I love that. It's great.
That's awesome.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. This
thank
is so
you, Meredith.
Helpful.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it was so informative.
It was wonderful.
And
so
I had fun.
Yeah.
To you guys.
It was great. Okay, so we're going to end it here.
Yeah, and if you have a topic that you want discussed on the show, or if you want to be a guest, you can email us at innovationweightlossmedia@gmail.com. You can check out Meredith on her website and her socials. Mm-hmm. You could check us out at Innovation Weight Loss on Instagram.
Everything will be linked below.
Oh, right? Everything will be linked, of course. And you can shop the store. If you're not a client, you can still shop the store.
Yes, just if you want to live healthy.
Oh my God, yeah. So we're in Woodbury, we're opening in East Hampton, so lots of exciting stuff. And keep posted. So we are doing podcasts every week. Every other week we will have a video for you guys. So keep going with us.
It's
and
exciting.
We love hearing from you guys. So thank you guys.
Have the healthiest, happiest, healthy week.
Thanks for listening to Love to Live Healthy with Josephine Fitzpatrick. We hope you'll pass along our web address, innovationweightloss.com, to your friends and colleagues who are looking to lose weight by eating clean and living healthy. Be sure to check out our archive section on our website for previous podcasts. Join us next time for another edition of Love to Live Healthy with Josephine Fitzpatrick. The content in this podcast is not intended in any way as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding weight loss or any medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have listened to on this podcast.